Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is once again leading your church in mission across the nations and helping us to engage with a world that's changed so much. And we ask for wisdom from you as we meet together these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the focus of this conference, as I understand it, is to ensure that as we plant fresh expressions of church, as we church plant, we actually are planting communities of disciples and not just new church events. That's the heart of it. So making disciples in new Christian communities under this title of Dying to Live, which comes from Mission Shaped Church, and I will come on to in a little while. In a moment, I'm going to talk about laying the foundations, then tomorrow morning, continuing the journey, and then tomorrow afternoon, developing missional communities, though I want to do a little bit of a general introduction first on discipleship. Alan Hirsch, a writer who I enjoy very much, in The Forgotten Ways, says, when dealing with discipleship and the related capacity to generate authentic followers of Jesus, we're dealing with that single most crucial factor that will in the end determine the quality of the whole. If we fail at this point, then we must fail in all the others. Now, it seems to me that that applies as to whether you are leading what we call an inherited or more traditional approach to church, or whether you are planting something new. The ultimate test is not how many people, how exciting, how innovative. The ultimate test is what quality of disciples are being formed. And that is the heart of what these days are about. Many of us know the text at the end of Matthew 28 extremely well. The question was raised in the sermon this afternoon about whether Fresh Expressions was an evangelical exercise or something that Christians of a more small C Catholic tradition could take part in, and the answer is yes. But those of us who come from an evangelical tradition with a deep sense of careful attention to Scripture have served this text very badly. We have treated it as one about people making an initial response to Jesus. And there is in this text people making an initial response to Jesus. It's called being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the text is about the making of disciples. When you get to the end of Luke's gospel, you are dovetailed into Acts, and you're meant to go on to the next section, the next volume. When you get to the end of Matthew's volume, and you hear Jesus telling those he has discipled for 3 years that now they are to go and make disciples, you're meant to go back to the beginning again and read the gospel as a disciple maker's charter, and rather than just go straight on. The call here is to what I call a whole life, 24/7 followers of Jesus. That's what disciple means in Matthew. And the key command is make disciples. Dallas Willard calls it the greater mission from the Great Commission. And that is the central verb. And then there are three more that tell you how you do it. You go. Disciple making comes through incarnational mission, not just through setting up church and inviting people to come. Through baptizing, which is initiation into Christ and his community, and through teaching, training in all that Christ has taught us. It's not teach them to believe all the things I've taught you to believe. It's teach them to do all the things that I've taught you to do. So Eugene Peterson in The Message says, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, and instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. So if that's discipleship, what in Matthew, at least, is a disciple? Well, the little text in chapter 10, verse 23, it's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. The heart of discipleship, I believe, is being with Jesus. And that involves being with him in his mission in order to become like him. I mean, Willard says that. If I'm to be Jesus' disciple, that means I'm with him to learn from him how to be like him. I mean, there's other things from Willard. He says that at the heart of discipleship lies the conviction that Jesus knows how to live your life better than you do. So in the company of Jesus to be like him. And Lucy Peppiot, an English writer in a recent book on discipleship, says, we obey Jesus' teachings because we are captivated by his person. That's why we want to be with him, in order to be like him. We obey his teachings because we're captivated by his person. So the heart of discipleship, and this slide will come up in each lecture. The heart of discipleship is obedience to Christ. Teach them to do all that I've commanded you to do. The motivation for discipleship is a vision of Christ. We're people captivated by Christ and his kingdom, what it is that the Father sent the Son to do. And then the great promise of the New Testament is that it is part of God's work to make us like Christ. The God who in all things works that we may be conformed to the image of his Son. That process of being with Jesus in order to be like him is one that God through the Spirit is deeply committed to. So we are not at all this conference talking about the impossible. We talk about cooperating with the Spirit of God for what God intends. And all of this goes right to the heart of Fresh Expressions of Church. Those of you who know the UK literature will know we sometimes say a Fresh Expression of Church should have four characteristics. It is missional. It seeks to benefit those who are not being touched by the ministry of any church. It is contextual. It pays particular attention to the context of those people. But the third one is it is formational. It is about the making of disciples and the creating of communities of disciples. It is not just about getting people to come to church, and it is not just about getting people to make a personal commitment to Jesus, which has no understanding of his call to follow and his call for us to participate in his kingdom. And it's ecclesial. It isn't a step to church. It is intended to be a congregation or a new church plant. And that word formation, I mean, we have delighted that we have different traditions here in the conference. Whether we talk about discipleship, whether I talk about formation, I mean the same thing. It is formation for Christ-likeness, that men and women may be in Christ in the first place, may be transformed to be like Christ, and may participate in Christ's mission. And just a reminder from Lucy Peppiot again that becoming like Jesus is a work of the Spirit in our lives. Can I remind you that the term disciple predates the term Christian? It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Discipleship is not about special Christians, extra saintly people. It is the response of a whole life to Jesus. And discipleship requires the church. A Church of Scotland report called Church Without Walls that actually came out a couple of years before, Mission Shaped Church, defined church as people on the move with Jesus, going wherever Jesus leads them. It reminds me of a little quote of Rowan Williams that I've not got on my slides, but he said, "We need to remember that when we choose the company of Jesus, we give up the right to choose the rest of our company. When we choose the company of Jesus, we give up the right to choose the rest of our company. People on the move with Jesus, going where Jesus leads them." Because if I have said that discipleship is to be with Christ in order to become like him, that sounds as though that might be very blessed and very static, and it most certainly has deep elements of prayer and contemplation and silence and so on. But actually, the disciples had three very active years. Being with Jesus required being on the road with Jesus, being drawn into the mission of Jesus. And Alison Morgan, who's written an excellent course used in quite a lot of Africa called Rooted in Jesus, and it's excellent because it does not require you to be literate, said she was writing a course on discipleship, and it troubled her that the word disciple does not appear in the epistles. And then she said she understood, because in the epistles, the plural of disciple is church. So if to grow to be a disciple requires community, it is together as we are on our journey with Jesus. So just to set out my stall of my understanding of discipleship from the beginning, and then to pick three points tonight. Be intentional, be contextual, and set an example. This is about laying the foundations. This is the beginning. Be intentional. There's an English story of a guy who set out in his car to go to a place he'd never been before. It must predate sat navs. He got totally lost in some rural area, and he stopped in a village and asked this old boy how you would get to his destination. Well, he said, "If I wanted to go there, I wouldn't start from here." And how you start, really the whole point of my three points tonight, how you start has a huge effect on where you get. Of course, you can correct course. If I'm saying things and you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, we didn't do that," then take heart. But it's harder to introduce later on something that, as it were, should have been intended from the beginning. Be intentional from the start. Discipleship is no afterthought. One of my team had an uncle who decided to take part in his village's cake baking contest. He thought he would take on what was mainly the ladies. He made a fruit cake. He was really pleased with it. It was doing beautifully in the oven. It was nearly ready. And then something occurred to him. He had not put the fruit in. So, finding his wife's knitting needles, he poked holes of an appropriate size and stuffed cold dried fruit down into the cake. He was very disappointed that he didn't win the competition. It's very difficult. No, I'm going to change that. It's only too easy to start to create a fresh expression of church that is really trying to be contextual, really engaging people, meeting where they are, that is actually so welcoming and so lacking in challenge, that when later on, when those relationships are stronger, you start talking about the call of Jesus to give over your whole life to follow him, they say, "Where did that come from? It's like putting the fruit in too late. So the intention is that the whole culture of the Fresh Expression begins to introduce people to discipleship. Now, to keep me awake, I'm going to use some stories tonight. And Ryan, we're going to go to the borders of Scotland. We're going to go to a project called Grafted. And at one point, it will challenge your capacity to understand Scottish accents. Come with me to Grafted.
Trying to be ourselves with them.
Piece of work that began with vulnerable rural men has developed into a fresh expression of church of considerable range of ages and stages and times of life. But the just through it like the core in a cable is this deep sense of we're working with people, we demonstrate authentically what Christian life is about, we're dealing with discipleship throughout all sorts of situations of daily life and so on. It's as though the culture is one that encourages people deeper into Christ. Very differently, Messy Church, which you know well, founded by Lucy Moore, and Lucy Moore is a vicar's wife, and her husband Paul, who was therefore with her, led the Messy Church that existed longer than any other, has a book coming out about discipleship in Messy Church, and this isn't a quote, but it's a summary of some of the things he said to me. Make the fresh expression itself about discipleship from beginning to end. Aim to provide an experience of Christian community for those with little contact and allow for the long journey people go on as they come from initial attention to openness to respond to the gospel. Some of you will know that we have a starter for one recommended process for planting a fresh expression, and I just want to draw one thing from it. It means the fresh expression does not begin with taking a good idea that works somewhere else and hoping it works for you. It begins with a time of prayerful discernment to see what God is doing and to join in, and then looking for the way to begin to express the gospel in appropriate love and service, exactly as in the grafted story. Our experience and grafted's experience is that builds community. People gather around you. People who didn't used to relate to one another began to relate to one another as they gather around you. And that is the point at which we seek to explore discipleship. And we are more interested in establishing community and exploring discipleship than we are in creating a public act of worship to which others are invited. Of course, it's not wrong to do it another way. Sometimes people can move quickly to a gathering for worship because those other relationships and stages actually exist and they're building on them. But the intention all the time is that create a community of disciples, not go straight for an event that people come to once a week, once a fortnight, once a month. And longing is that a fresh expression brought into being in that way will plant a seed that those people themselves will start to say, who will we never reach if we only do this, and be willing to seed the same process again. But my reason for going quickly through the sequence, because this isn't a conference just about general principles of starting fresh expressions, is although we think there's an order in which it's better to happen, it's the order, as it were, of engagement with those whom you are seeking to contact and reach through the fresh expression. You have to intend the whole thing from the beginning. Even though you are working through it stage by stage. So here are some sunflower seeds. There's absolutely nothing that's going to grow when you plant those that is not inherent in the sunflower seeds. The seed for planting a fresh expression of church needs to be intentional about all the stages in the diagram, because only what you sow will grow. Only what is in the seed can grow. Please start as you mean to go on. Though there are stages to go through, make the intention and the creation of the culture about a lifelong following of Jesus and the transformation of lives from the beginning. And to do that, being intentional, you have to be contextual. You have to attend the actual circumstances of the people whom God is bringing you into contact with. Now, sometimes that's not the people that you thought. Sometimes you set something up for one group and you find that the ones God actually gives are another. That's Jackie's experience in her parish. Do ask her about it. But the question then becomes, what's going on in the lives of these people? There is a dominant Western culture, which, financial crisis or no, is still essentially consumerist, and I'll do a seminar on that on Saturday. But the key to planting a fresh expression of church is the local context, not generalizations about culture. What forces shape a locality? What forces have brought together a particular network, or maybe it's the combination of the two? Just outside Birmingham in England is a very complicated motorway junction that everybody calls Spaghetti Junction because of all the roads that go off. What all the different drivers who speed through that or take one of the turns off don't know is that there is an estate. People live underneath the motorway. And the priest of that community was wanting to ask the question, what has shaped this community? And how could the church be or establish a sign of God's kingdom for that community? He got the community doing research about their history. What they found was they had always been a transport junction. Now it was major roads. Before that, it was railways. And before that, it was canals. This meant that major commercial forces run by people who lived nowhere near that community always made the decisions that decided on the conditions in which they would live. And that explained the sense of powerlessness in the community. And so a piece of work with scripture and the parables got going in the congregation, which led to the establishing of an advice center by the community, for the community, to empower the community as a sign of the kingdom. But you don't do it because an advice center would be a good idea. You do it because you've been asking the questions about the context. How are lives shaped here? and how might they be transformed by the grace of God in Jesus Christ if we were to engage that and establish a community. Disciple making is a process of enculturation. It involves the reading of a local culture or the planting of a contextually appropriate church, that listening at the beginning of the model. The context is vital for the shape of the community. If what has been created is an import, what you would really love to do, what worked in your previous parish, what sounds really good in the latest book you've read, there is very little chance it will be transformational. There needs to be the prayerful discernment. And time for another story, because I need to keep staying awake, and want to take you now to a young adult ministry right in the center of the Midlands town of Wolverhampton. This is Wolverhampton Pioneer Ministries.
Speak people who will unashamedly talk about Jesus Christ. or unashamedly talk about being disciples of Jesus and the struggles of that for them. But we'll be able to talk about it with passion, with integrity, with authenticity. But to do so in a way that's trying to engage and be that yeast in the dough, reflecting on Jesus' own parables about building a kingdom. We've this year had four interns who've given us their gap year or a year out of their lives to come to work alongside us. And what they're ready to do is to be part of the church, to work as part of the community full time for that year. We now have a core team who are really looking to expand and build missional communities outside new areas of the city and the new networks that exist.
I'm doing an internship with WPM for 1 year. I really feel it's going to help me prepare me before I go to uni. So I'm learning so many skills and just growing my relationship with God. And I feel it'll really just prepare me for life ahead.
Put a sofa out in the middle of the square here, and we saw a big sign which seems to be made out of a hoop pole, and stuck a fancy chap on the end of it, just like walked around. And it's amazing, some people just really want to call, get things off their chest.
It's really important to go to where people are and say, it's really something that allows them to relax and to talk about the things that they really want to talk about.
We're supported by the Church of England, partially by the Methodist Church, partially, and also by the Church Army. So each of those carries some of the load. And that's enabled us to be able to work with all of those partners in different ways.
As the diocese, we're committed to parishes like the one represented by St. Peter's Collegiate Church behind me and the Cafe Church that we've just started working side and side together in heritage modes, fresh expression, and mixed economy that everyone's ever.
I think one of the things I've learned from my own experience coming into an existing project is the need for leadership to be something that's grown constantly and something that's been paid attention to throughout the life of a project. Building up that leadership within teams, within leadership teams, not just through one person, but through that shared industry, is something that will really enable that. I think the vision for us would be for people to see church as a blessing. And when I say church, I don't just mean the building, but that group of people, that group of living stones, to actually be seen as something that's a blessing for people to recognise as we come, as they see us in the streets, as they see us around, that these are people who represent the kingdom building, that these are people who bring peace, joy and love to the streets. So that sense of serving the city, of loving the city, of putting a smile on the face, if we can do that here, then we can do it around the country. Then I think people see the attraction of Jesus Christ working through in their lives.
Now, I'll pick up the issue of developing leadership in the third talk, but that's a community that's come out of service, that have a sense of community with one another. Vitalize is up to about 70 now. It's church for 18s to 30s. That's the age group most missing in the British churches. So there's something very important about that. And it's connected with the young people who come into the center to club. And simply, St. Peter's Collegiate Church is an excellent church doing very significant ministry. The question is not, was something wrong with it, but who will we never reach if we only do that? And what we call the mixed economy works together there. A couple of summers ago, we had riots in our cities, and there was a night of rioting in Wolverhampton. The first people on the streets to lead the cleanup were members of Wolverhampton Pioneer Ministries, wanting, as they said, to put a face on the city. So to be contextual, once again, requires listening. It requires listening, not cloning. So please don't take models of church off the shelf, even the ones in our and your DVDs. The point of the stories is to feed your imagination so that you become more and more open to God's surprises. The best stories I've found are something comes that I've never seen in any church planting book. Something comes you probably can't clone. It is just the key to open up a particular community or network or group. It will nearly always involve using something God has already given you and you didn't know its significance. But that listening process, follow the Holy Spirit who gives you an invitation to improvise, even if you're an Anglican. So, my former student Chris Russell leads a church in the center of Reading, a parish church building no longer needed to be a parish church. St. Lawrence's exists for one purpose only, to win totally unchurched teenagers for Jesus as a special focus of ministry in the deanery. And Chris said this to one of our conferences, the church creates the conditions where people can live the Christian life. Here is the environment where a particular group of people, shaped a particular way, with particular needs and strengths and weaknesses, joys and sorrows, you're creating the conditions where those people can authentically be Christians. And that's why context is so important. It's not franchise church planting, he says. The question is, what is God doing among these people in this particular place? John said that I was interviewing potential pioneer ministers yesterday, or we were making the decisions about them. When I interviewed someone called Katie, who somehow combines a PhD in geology with skills in theatre direction and a passionate commitment to plant church amongst the urban poor, I said, what links those three together? And she had the capacity to tell a good story. But I said, how do you know what you've done is contextual? There are six ministries ranging from a community choir to work in a residential home to a toddler group and all sorts of things. Well, she said, I didn't sit in a lounge dreaming up what to do. The community asked me. The mission initiatives, then, she said, that the community asked for as she built relationships and prayer walked and so on. The mission initiatives create the relationships. Serving leads to community. The relationships form the community. Everyone who has joined the Fresh Expression has come this way. Listening to God, engaging with the community, finding the links, and just seeing people drawn into the Fresh Expression. Just one last thing on being contextual. To be contextual or incarnational will always have an element of the countercultural, or you might want to call it the prophetic. We wrote this in Mission Shaped Church. The gospel has to be heard within the culture of the day, but it always has to be heard as a call to appropriate repentance. It's the incarnation of the gospel within a dominantly consumer society that provides the Church of England with its major missionary challenge. We are seeking to show a better way that enables people to turn from that which does not please God to ways in which they will flourish. So, to be transformative, it's got to be contextual, but it must have that element of challenge within it. And the last point I want to make tonight is that that requires those who lead to set an example. How are disciples made? Well, I noticed in the book room that Christopher Wright's book, The Mission of God, is there. Here's a quote from it, referring to Matthew 28. Jesus commissions his own disciples to go out and replicate themselves. I gasped a little bit when I read that, because there's a lot more of me I would not like to see replicated than there is that I would. By creating communities of obedience amongst the nation, mission is replicated discipleship. You show it, they see it, they can do it. Two. That's actually what Jesus did, investing in his disciples for 3 years. Learned through ethical obedience, doing what he says, and passed on through teaching. So we have to be examples. There has to be something in us, by the grace of God I know, that makes others want to know the Lord, who is so special to us. So planting a fresh expression is more about sacrifice than church as you would like it. To be frustrated with the worship and the life of your church and to take fresh expressions as an opportunity to do church as you really think it ought to be so that people will come is not a fresh expression of church. We have a technical theological term for it, self-indulgence. That's consumer church. But if you bring into being something for others that is clearly at cost to yourself, this is not necessarily the way you think you would flourish if you were creating church for you. But you are not creating church for you. You are creating church for them. Your passion is that they encounter Jesus, become like him, and get drawn into his mission. Then from the very beginning, people see that element of sacrifice. They've seen, even in the way you've gone about the process, something of what it means to follow Jesus. We wrote this in Mission Shaped Church. The church must always be willing to die to its own cultural comfort in order to live where God intends it to be. Those of us who wrote the report were deeply impacted by John 12:24. The grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, or it remains a single grain. If it dies, it bears much fruit. The sermon took us to that dying in the Eucharist. Thank you for that. And of course, that text standing alone is our Lord talking about that once for all unique work that he and only he could do on the cross. But like so many references to the cross in the Gospels, it then becomes a pattern of discipleship in the following verses. And it seemed to us appropriate that that be applied to church planting. That a team that in effect is planting cross-culturally is deliberately planting to reach those whose existing ministry it is not reaching, not to condemn its existing ministry, but to complement and extend it. There is a dying that goes on. The seed we wrote loses its previous identity to be part of the sending church with its particular manifestation and culture. It'll become something different to what it was before. Dying to live is inherent in the planting process. One more story to give you an example. This is called the Sunday Sanctuary.
Find out where they were, not to make assumptions about where people work spiritually and in relation to their understanding and experience of faith, but we start from the ground buttons and make new friends and talk to them and share stories, so to hear their story as much as to share the stories and the overarching story that we have to share. We began with the idea that we had something more like a drop-in. We would serve breakfast, bury them for a couple of hours, and we thought that what people might do is drop in for a little while, take part, and then go away again. But from the very beginning, people came for the whole of the 2 hours, and so we were very quickly having to invent lots more things to do. As things have evolved, it has become more structured. It's very much focused around engaging with a Bible story we don't see. We did pray, but in very creative ways, but most of the time we're all together as one community and sharing and learning together.
My reaction when Mark mentioned we might be moving into Wilcott House was totally a very positive one. I was very excited, full of anticipation. It takes a lot of commitment, time commitment and energy and enthusiasm on our part, because it's very different to what would be a traditional church service for me. There are the rewards that come with that, the meeting new people, the excitement when you see new family arrive, the fact that we've already doubled at least the number of people that were coming into the original St. Luke's building.
We lived here in Wilcott House about 2 years now. We just started last December, and it gives a good opportunity to travel at the same time together and do things with children.
I had fun with that family. Well, because we have croissants, chocolate croissants. Come back here on Sunday morning and we have like little breakfast with Mark. And then we do little activities and make things. And then we get in circle to do stories, food, ties. And work because I get to play with my brother and sister and stuff, and we get to make things. And it's fun. So maybe
even if they're not facing those challenges directly themselves, are living alongside people who are. And there's those things that go along with, like social challenges like alcohol abuse and drug abuse and family breakdown. I was just having a conversation moments ago with a housing manager who was recognising that what we've managed to achieve here is something that the council hasn't managed to do in their attempts to reach into this particular housing to make contact with families and try and help and support them in their living here. Before we moved here, we were probably about 20 people, a mixture of couples and families, mostly younger, between 20s and 50s, and maybe really older than that. Since moving here, we've met and formed friendships with new families, and we have about 5 or 6 families who come regularly. As a community, we've grown and expanded and changed as a result. Who we are, our identity, the community, has evolved through making new friendships. As far as discipleship goes in this community, we are not consciously perhaps at that point yet. We are still in the process of building and deepening our community by sharing stories together and beginning to explore in what we do together what implications this has for us. I think discipleship is a matter for all of us, not just those who are newer members. We're all, in a sense, evangelized by this process. We're all reshaped by the gospel as we encounter it in new ways and with new people. So we're growing through what we're doing, and we're just beginning to see people thinking more deeply about the implications of this faith they're engaging with for their own lives.
It's difficult to say what the future holds. I think this can be sustained in its current form for a while, but I think then you have to think forward to think, do you move to a different building? Or do you try and change slightly what you do here, so you involve a bit more worship, a bit more prayer, and make it a little bit more like a Christian service than it is at the moment. But I mean, obviously, what it is at the moment in its current form is certainly meeting the needs of the people that are attending. That sort of seeking God's will for the future of whatever we do is so important.
Don't miss the importance of the little girl. First principle of church growth, do it with food. Yeah. But we're all evangelized by the process. It's not dying to live so that you can then just the same be doing ministry in a new place. It's part of our discipleship journey as well. The professor who translated Mission Shaped Church into German gave me this one. Dying to live so that something unforeseen can grow. The last quote from the report, a commitment to lay aside one's own preferences, to give priority to different culture, and work with those in it to discover how to express an authentic shared life in Christ is the opposite of self-centered consumerism. There is a costliness about this. We have been deeply blessed by how much God has done, but there has very definitely been that evangelizing of most of those who've taken the process really seriously. I'll be saying to you tomorrow that I don't know how you grow as a disciple without partaking in mission. I think it's one of the essential ingredients. And many of those I meet around the country, the depth of their understanding of Jesus and their relationship with him has deeply increased as a result of this. That's not why we do it. The whole point is this is for others. Who will never know if we do not do this? So please build sacrifice and service into the culture of the Fresh Expression from the beginning. If you've seen the story on the first UK DVD of the Methodist minister who created a church for lonely people in the city centre through getting them together to bake fresh bread, the church called Somewhere Else. Well, the deal from day one was this. If you're part of the baking, you leave with two loaves, one for you and one to give. Even if it's little things, build in the experience of service. You are often giving people a taste of Christian community while they're working out whether they really want to be Christian. So give them the authentic taste. Sum up. Fresh Expressions are not church light. They may be church light of some of our buildings and paraphernalia and so on. Properly done, they're what C.S. Lewis used to call deep church. That was his equivalent to mere Christianity. They take the right shape in the right place. Intentionally, being intentional, being contextual. They often do it as a price, the comfort and convenience of those who plant it. This conference is called Dying to Live. God really is growing the new. So friends, please be intentional. Intend it from the beginning. Be contextual. Engage with the actual circumstances of those with whom you are doing and set an example, even if that for you is a little bit of a dying. Thank you very much.